Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I love this story. Let me pull the mic closer so I can actually be heard. We've seen this kind of weird roller coaster kind of graph with faith and people having faith. And historically, folks have more faith when they're in some traumatic or dramatic situation. Someone's dying. You go to church and pray that they live. I'm not demeaning anyone. It's just the way it happens. During economic crisis, the highest numbers of people that ever went to church in American history, the Great Depression, you kind of go there for strength, and you just do. Personal trauma, you did something wrong, you want forgiveness, loss, all that kind of stuff. That's not my thing, but that's just me. My wife goes to church every Sunday, and I've gone more. I don't do it because to be honest, I do it for her, honestly. My grandfather was the coolest. My man, he never went to church. You know what he said? He goes, you know what? I'm way ahead of the game. I was an altar boy for 17 years. So was I. So I say, I'm with you, Grandpap. But this isn't about my cynicism and my lack of going to the physical church. It's about this vibe happening in America. It's actually kind of cool. And there's this great piece in the Wall Street Journal that had me thinking and had me reaching out to my man. And it was this week. What's today's date? Yeah, it was 3 days ago. New Yorkers have a new hot spot. Sunday Mass. This is actually kind of cool. At St. Joseph's Church in Greenwich Village. There isn't enough room. How about that? How about that? Is that the woman with the four-year-old? Is that the woman with the four-year-old? Yeah, yeah. Before we get to Hogan, he'll be cool. I want to put him on. That's my friend, Mrs. O'Malley. Hello there, young lady. Are you there?
I'm here.
And is our guy there?
I got to patch him in.
Introduce him.
This is going to be Teddy O'Malley. I got to conference him in from his grandma's house.
Yeah, but who are you conferencing in? Tell us.
My son, Theodore O'Malley. We don't call him Teddy.
Teddy.
Yep.
And why we're doing this? Tell us why we're doing this.
So he's running to be Junior Ranger of the Year. And Junior Ranger of the Year is for kids who really love being in nature. And Teddy fits that. He was in Florida, and someone, a ranger at like a rehabilitation for the manatees, he asked so many questions like, you should run for this. Doing that.
And Teddy's four.
He's four.
And he's at grandma's house.
He's at great grandmother's house.
Wow. And he can only be on because he's so busy. He's a celebrity. He has all this paparazzi stuff going. He's only available right now, so we have him with his great-grandmother, I think, don't we?
Yep. All right. Yep, I just have to patch him in and figure out how to do it. So I got to do that.
All right.
Let me get him.
We're waiting on Teddy. Here comes Teddy. We're going to post all this stuff on social so that Teddy can be the Ranger of the Year, which is cool. We love Teddy. Kelly? Is anybody out
there?
Yeah,
I'm looking. I know how to do this.
I don't think you're doing it very well.
I don't think so either.
I think you were trained by me. Teddy!
I do all the time for work, so it's
sure you
funny.
Do.
Yeah, let's see.
Well, it was a good idea for a minute.
Yeah.
You know that panic you start to feel, Patrick, when it's not working? She's feeling that.
Yeah.
All right. You want to try it again and call back?
No, I got
Teddy. Teddy. She got nothing. They're all gone now.
Let's see if she's...
Oh, well.
Oops.
You know you can't win them all. We try. Sometimes technology just doesn't work. We'll try again. Meantime, I digress. I got to get Pastor Hogan. How are you, Pastor?
I'm doing great, my brother. How are you?
How are you feeling?
I'm good. A little groggy from yesterday, but I'm good.
He had a colonoscopy, which is...
I did. Fun.
7 hours on the toilet and then 2 days of grogginess.
Right. That's exactly what it's been.
But you're okay.
But yeah, no big problems. One polyp removed. I'm good to go.
All right. So I saw this piece and immediately sent it to you. Here's what I love. When we can get young people jazzed about faith, they're lining up to go to church. They're meeting singles. They're having pizza parties. Does this give you hope for like this reinvigorated Christian spirit, sir?
Oh, it definitely does. And I think it's a bit overdue because what we have going on across the country is so much chaos.
True.
You know, so much hatred, so much suffering, so much, you know, struggling to get by with gas prices through the roof.
True.
And usually, like you said, that pushes people toward faith because they'd rather get a big dose of love and something solid to stand on than feel like they're being tossed by the waves all the time. And so it's exciting to me to see, especially in a place like Greenwich.
Yes.
Greenwich can be pretty crazy sometimes if you've ever been there, and to know that, you know, that church up there is seeing this much fruit, that's pretty awesome.
Before I get back to that, because you're right, they've had big events, baptisms at Pitt. Have you seen this?
I have.
It's cool
as
hell, huh?
Yeah, lots of stuff going on all over the country right now, and
wow.
I just think that people are just due for it. They're tired of being tied in knots. You know, you go through your week and everybody's telling you everything that's wrong with everything all the time. People are screaming in the streets about stuff.
Yeah.
People are hating. People are taking shots at politicians and suddenly you're like, you know what? I need something better than this being dumped into my brain.
But my man, I had you on the air during COVID and they did surveys. Young people didn't believe in God at all. So something happened. I tell you what, because I see this on these college campuses, kids get lonely. And this is kind of a place to find solace, kindness.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Right?
And they don't, I don't mean this as an insult,
no.
It's just the reality. This generation struggled to learn how to socialize
yes.
because of COVID and because of the internet.
Yes.
People go, they meet somebody that they might be interested in romantically, and they have an awkward conversation
yes.
at a coffee shop, and then they panic and ghost each other because they don't know how to interact. We were kind of forced because we didn't have any of this fancy stuff. We had to learn how to interact socially. So this is providing a great opportunity for them not just to come to faith, but to learn how to interact with one another in groups better. That's awesome.
It's funny you should say this because I've been with my son all week and just hanging, which is so cool. And I asked him, he's almost 16 and he's never been on a date and they don't socialize like we were ordered to. And I told him at Central Catholic, we would have girls brought in on buses. We would have dances on Saturday nights. And I would stare at a girl until she stared back. And then someone would push us together. And that's how my idiotic, ignorant, lame butt said hello. So what you're saying is so poignant. Like, my man, this deal in New York, they have pizza to pews. I mean, that's just cool, right?
It is. It's very cool.
Yeah. And any way to get them in the room together. My man, you know how many times I've said to single people, go to church. Seriously, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you, when our church was smaller than it is now, I had some single ladies that were in their late 20s, and you know, they were talking about wanting to meet somebody.
Yes.
And I said, look, I don't want to kick you out for keeps, but go find a bigger church. You know, somebody that's, you know, got some single guys with some prospects to go to so you can meet someone. You don't want to meet them down at the bar. So, you know, go out to like one of those monstrous places and see if they've got a singles group for people your age. But it's been weird observing my own kids and how they learn to socialize with one another, because it's like through Discord and these apps and stuff.
Yes.
And I guess that's what we would have been doing if we had all this stuff, but I'm kind of glad we didn't.
So pizza to pews. And then the numbers in Pittsburgh are also dramatically rising. Do you see this as sticking?
I hope it will. The trends usually say that it goes up and it goes down. People get comfortable in their faith, especially oddly when they get what they're looking for. If they're if somebody's praying for their family member to get through leukemia and it works out, oftentimes 2 years later you ask that person how their prayer life is doing, and they're like, I haven't been praying much. It was like it was the biggest thing on their mind 2 years ago. Then when God let it happen for them, they kind of like, okay, well, I don't really need him right now because I don't have anything catastrophic going on.
With what's happening to young people in particular, with so much kind of being thrown at them with little face-to-face stuff, I love this, man. If I could get my son to go to a church group, because that's where I ended up being at the Christian groups at Sacred Heart School, and I was the president of the Christian group. And you meet all these young people, and if that's the way it starts, more power to it, right?
Yeah, I think actually Vince would love it, but it would be awkward at first.
It is.
But he would definitely end up loving it, I think.
Plus, you meet like-minded people.
Right, and especially when you're getting to that age where you're looking at, you know, you're becoming an adult, Who's my spouse potentially going to be? You don't want it to be random where you don't have anything in common, because you know that can be just very stressful and not work out real well.
I love this stuff, man. I hope it plays out. Hey, how did you meet your wife?
I met my wife. This is a true story. I was walking into the basement mail room of a barracks in Germany.
That's amazing.
And a guy, I was looking at a piece of paper as I was walking, and a guy named Benitez said, "Hey, Hogan, this is Gil. You're going to be working with her." And I looked up and I thought, that is the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life.
That's amazing.
And 4 years later, I married her.
You are the brother of all brothers. Thanks, my man.
Yep. Hey, have a great day.
Pizza to pews, people. Loving it.
Hey, don't make Vince wear that cassock when you send them there.
Will not.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't spend a whole lot of time on Trump because I just don't. And so many of you are obsessed with Trump, so no matter what he does, you somehow make it into something positive, which I can't comprehend. He's all over the map. He's random. He's confused. He's just ignorant. And he's getting weirder by the day. He does this stream of consciousness stuff. And I think it's because, and I know it is, if you've been around really famous people, they have these sycophants around them. Like 50 people that just, no matter what they do, if they crap on the sidewalk, the sycophants say, "Oh, look how cool." It's just the way they live their lives. They spend their entire life lifted up above the ground, so they never even touch down. They don't even know what it's like to walk. And no matter what they say, it's wonderful. And so Trump has surrounded himself with sycophants. And so he does this weird stuff, says these weird things, which would be fine if he was just your average 80-year-old pain in the ass, except he's the president of the United States. And I think he thinks he's full of wisdom and insight, but really he says moronic things. TJ, I'm not taking your call. He's your boy, which is explain the obvious why I don't take your call. Because you've been ignorant for 15 years and you're not changing today. Listen to what he said. So Trump had a bunch of kids in his office. And again, he thinks he's this philosopher and he thinks he's Dr. Seuss or Mr. Rogers or something. More like one of the people on Yeehaw, Hee-Haw. Or one of the Three Stooges shows. If you listen to this clip, I have two of them. But he's talking to this little girl. And then he's surrounded by kids. I would say none of those kids are older than 10, right? About that, right? Right, Patrick?
Yeah, that's about right.
Right, Trevin? They're young kids, right?
That's about right.
And they're all in his office. And he's talking to him like he's this wonderful old man. Listen to what he says to a group of young kids. This is yesterday. Listen. Scaring the kids. Crazy.
We just
listen.
Broke every record, and now we're going to take a hit because we have to make a journey down to Iran to take the nuclear weapon. They would have had a nuclear weapon within 2 weeks. Remember, we sent that beautiful B-2 bomber in, and we blew up their nuclear potential. It was obliterated for those that are not aware, and to a point where it would take them weeks to dig down, and we wouldn't let them dig down. We have our eyes on it all the time. But it was a very important thing. So we would have had an Iran with a nuclear weapon, and maybe we wouldn't all be here right now. I can tell you the Middle East would have been gone, Israel would have been gone, and they would have trained their sights on Europe first and then us, because they're sick people. These are sick people. And we're not going to let lunatics have a nuclear weapon. The power of a nuclear weapon is something I don't even want to talk about.
We're going to play that again, but for context, these are eight-year-old kids. He said that to them. First of all, he lied and said they'd have a nuclear weapon in 2 weeks. That's a lie. That's a lie. Second, he said we'd all be dead. He said they would kill everyone in Israel first, then everyone in the Middle East, another lie, and then everyone here. No, everyone in Europe, and then kill all of us. This is the president of the United States talking to kids. He lied. Listen to... And your kid comes home from meeting the president of the United States, and what's your kid say? Mommy? He said we would all be dead if it wasn't for him. That's our lesson today from whatever that man is with the orange face. Listen. Play it again. It's bizarre.
We just broke every record,
mm-hmm.
And now we're going to take a hit because we have to make a journey down to Iran to take the nuclear weapon. They would have had a nuclear weapon in...
Lie!
Within 2 weeks. Remember, we sent that beautiful B-2 bomber in, and we blew up their nuclear potential. It was obliterated, for those that are not aware, and to a point where it would take them weeks to dig down, and we wouldn't let them dig down. We have our eyes on it all the time. but it was a very important thing. So we would have had an Iran with a nuclear weapon, and maybe we wouldn't all be here right now.
Dad.
I can tell you the Middle East would have been gone.
Dad.
Israel would have been gone.
Dad.
And they would have trained their sights on Europe first and then
Dad.
Us.
Dad.
Because they're sick people. These are sick people. And we're not going to let lunatics have a nuclear weapon. The power of a nuclear weapon is something I don't even want to talk about.
You do want to talk about it. Santa. Wow. Talk about the boogeyman. Come on, man. If I had kids in here and said that, their parents would snap. Something's wrong with him. That's just not normal. That's not funny. It's not entertaining. The bald-faced lie about show me some data for all the people that love Trump. Send it to me. Get Marty at KDKRadio.com or call us. Get Marty at KDKRadio.com. Show me where they had a nuke in 2 weeks. Show me that. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Then this is even stupider. There's a girl beside him, beautiful little girl, who wants to be a volleyball player. And this is how he boosts her morale. This is the president talking to this. She's probably six, maybe. Listen.
I play volleyball, and in the summer, I'm trying to get into soccer.
Well, well. And with your height, do you smash the ball, the volleyball?
No.
You get up high, can you jump high?
Not barely.
Soccer might be better. I'm just looking. I think she'd be a great soccer.
She's too short. What are we doing, man? She's too short. You're all going to die. The other day, he told the head of NASA. Do you have the big ears thing? The big ears thing. This is the head of NASA. This is the president of the United States talking to a brilliant man, the head of NASA, about his ears. I am not kidding you. It's bizarre. He's losing it. And again, I don't do much of this Trump stuff, but he's getting weirder, weirder. Go ahead, listen.
Are you considering relocating NASA's headquarters out of D.C. once the lease is up, states like Texas, Ohio, and Florida?
Well, the best man to tell you that is the man standing right over here. You heard that question with those beautiful ears of yours? he's got great hearing, you know, super. He's got super hearing.
Trick of the trade, sir.
So the head of NASA has big ears. And this jagoff says you have big ears, that's why you hear everything. The president of the United States. I know you love him and you name your kids and dogs and cats after him, but I'm sorry, but the kid thing, telling them all going to die is bizarre. A nuke in 2 weeks is a lie. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, you're the same guy that had Rich Fitzgerald on.
I'm done. I'm not fighting with Dale today. Rich Fitzgerald, I've known since I was 15. I would trust him with my life. And there is Dale defending Trump, telling us the world's going to end. Bye-bye, Dale. Bye-bye.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
One more time. This is Trump talking to kids, telling them we all should be dead, and then Iran had a nuke. Kids, listen.
We just broke every record, and now we're going to take a hit because we have to make a journey down to Iran to take the nuclear weapon. They would have had a nuclear weapon in within 2 weeks. Remember, we sent that beautiful B-2 bomber in, and we blew up their nuclear potential. It was obliterated, for those that are not aware, and to a point where they it would take them weeks to dig down, and we wouldn't let them dig down. We have our eyes on it all the time. But it was a very important thing. So we would have had an Iran with a nuclear weapon, and maybe we wouldn't all be here right
Lie.
Now. I can tell you the
Lie.
Middle East would have been gone. Israel
Lie.
Would have been gone.
Lie.
And they would have trained their sights on Europe first
Lie.
And then us, because they're sick people. These are sick people. And we're not going to let lunatics have a nuclear weapon.
There you go.
The power of a nuclear weapon is something I don't even want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. But you did with six-year-olds. Go home and tell your mommy you should be dead. What? The thing is, if you saw that as a skit on Saturday Night Live, you'd say, okay, that's kind of funny. But this is real. There's no AI there. There's a wonderful clip, AI clip. He's facing this little girl. She's probably six. And he tells her she's too short to play volleyball. In the AI clip, she reaches around and smacks a volleyball off his head. That's what you want to do. From one of my insiders, a brilliant man regarding Trump. Because when he's talking to these kids, he's really talking to us, that we should all be dead, that he saved us. From my insider, saw it. He's effed. Iranians will suffer longer than we'll stay. Get it? Get it? Wonder why every president, Marty, has passed on this course of action for 50 years. We didn't do this. Gas to $6. We handed Iran a weapon much better than a bomb. A squeeze on the world's gas tank. He can't sell we'd all be lit up by a nuke in 2 weeks. It's a lie. Another thing. We just declared military operations are over. Okay. By the way, they still have all the nuclear stuff and exercise the one thing that all military strategists have predicted the past four decades, closing the straits. Oops. He decides to tell four-year-olds that they could be dead, but he saved them. Thank you, sir. We love you. And then we get these jagoffs that call here screaming mad that I'm wrong. No, no. If you think that's appropriate, you're wrong. You're wrong. That is gross. Grimy, smarmy, low life, whatever you want to call it. Mr. President, we got some kids in here today that want to see the Oval Office. Do you mind having them in? Oh, no, bring them in.
I got to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Whether you're for the president, whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
Yeah.
If you're a parent and you're standing in that room.
What I'm saying.
And you hear the president saying that.
Right.
Would you not take your child out of the room?
I'd want to. But the people in that room love him. That's why they're in the room.
But you're sycophants. A parent. You're a parent first.
Doesn't matter. Not to them, they're not. This is Donald J. Trump, brother. They're in that room because they love Trump. See, Johnny? He saved us. If you're in the Oval Office, you love Trump.
So you put the president before your child?
Of course they do. Hell yeah.
It's also not a room you just walk out of.
Yeah. Yeah, it really isn't. It's like being in a bank vault.
I hear you both, but I don't care. If I'm standing there and that's my son or daughter, we got to go.
Yeah, but that's why you're not invited into the room.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. I forgot.
My man, we will never be in that room, brother. Oh,
they're
my
laughing.
God.
I said, Marty sounds, they're laughing.
Michael Bartley is here. What happened?
Everybody they're in their lap. Do you see them laughing in there? I said, Marty sounds like a big Democrat today.
Did everybody else get fired?
Wait, no. Shut up.
Are you out of rehab again?
Shut up. Wait, were you on with my girl, Eileen? Was that my...
She's not your girl. She's my cousin.
I know she is.
Jagoff.
I love her so much. Oh,
can I
boy.
Tell you a Pratt story?
Yeah. Yeah.
Patrick witnessed it. I walk in here yesterday.
Yeah.
And Pratt says... God bless you. How has your sister been able to hang in there this long with pancreatic cancer?
Oh, God love her.
And I said, you know, she died three months ago.
I know that. Wait, what did he say? What did he do?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I do sound like an annoyed parent today.
You do. You're.
He told those kids they should be dead.
And then people are going to call me today and say, oh, look. The war's over. This, the price of gas is dead. Until what? Tomorrow's another story.
Hold
and
on.
He's going to say something else.
So hold on. The barrel of oil dropped by $30
yeah.
last night. Did
yeah.
your gas price change?
No.
Hell no.
Hey, are you kidding
Hell
me?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Hell no.
Hell no.
Jagoffs.
That's
I'm not
to say
it. It's in the dictionary. Bartz is next.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.